Layer 912, Eleanor Roosevelt, exemplary citizen. A text panel to your left reads, United Nations delegate. We stand today at the threshold of a great event, both in the life of the United Nations and in the life of mankind. This declaration may well become the international Magna Carta of all men everywhere. Eleanor Roosevelt, speech to UN General Assembly on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, December 9, 1948. In December 1945, seeking to signal America's commitment to the new United Nations organization and cement his ties to a powerful Democratic Party figure, President Harry Truman appointed Eleanor Roosevelt to America's first delegation to the General Assembly. ER quickly became a major force on refugee and human rights issues. From 1946 to 1951, she chaired the UN Human Rights Commission, leading the effort to draft the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. An able and determined negotiator, she clashed frequently with Soviet delegates over the definition of human liberties. In the process, she pushed the State Department to recognize that human rights are not only civil and political rights, but social and economic rights, too. The declaration was ER's proudest achievement at the UN. It created the modern definition of human rights. Today, it is the standard for establishing norms governing international behavior regarding the rights of individuals. Continue down the room about 3 feet to a plexiglass display case that juts out from the wall about 6 inches, containing her draft of the preamble to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Walk another 6 feet forward to another plexiglass case on your left containing a memo of a meeting with John F. Kennedy, where she assesses Kennedy and displays her keen political instincts. To the right of that case, a text panel reads, Democratic activist. We must know what we think and speak out, even at the risk of unpopularity. In the final analysis, a democratic government represents the sum total of the courage and the integrity of its individuals. It cannot be better than they are. In the long run, there is no more exhilarating experience than to determine one's position, state it bravely, then act boldly. Eleanor Roosevelt, Tomorrow is Now, 1963. Eleanor Roosevelt became a formidable figure in the post-war Democratic Party. She shrewdly used her status as the widow of a revered leader to maximize her influence. Harry Truman courted her support, appointing her to America's first UN delegation and soliciting her opinion on many issues. In 1948, she backed Truman for president after he adopted a strong civil rights platform. During the 1950s, she battled Southern Dixiecrats and campaigned for numerous candidates whose stances she embraced. A tough political insider, she helped Adlai Stevenson secure the Democratic presidential nomination in 1952 and 1956. In 1960, ER again favored Stevenson for president and spoke on his behalf at the Democratic convention. After John F. Kennedy won the nomination, he journeyed to Valkill to secure ER's endorsement, a measure of her power. When he spoke out against racial discrimination, she campaigned for him. Proceed another 6 feet to a third display case containing a letter ER wrote President Truman in June 1946 to urge him to bring more women into his administration. There is also a letter from JFK to Eleanor, thanking her for agreeing to chair the President's Commission on the Status of Women. A text panel to the right of this display case talks about ER's role as a women's rights advocate. Too often, the great decisions are originated and given form in bodies made up wholly of men. Even in countries where for many years women have voted and been eligible for public office, there are still too few women serving in positions of real leadership. Eleanor Roosevelt, UN Deliberations on Draft Convention on the Political Rights of Women, January 5, 1953. ER made important contributions to the post-war women's rights movement. Long an advocate for the advancement of women in government, she continued to lobby for women's appointments within presidential administrations and at the UN, and urged women to run for political office. During the war, Eleanor had been an advocate for women on equality of pay in defense industries and government-funded daycare. Now she dropped her long-standing opposition to an Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution. In 1961, E.R. accepted John F. Kennedy's invitation to chair the President's Commission on the Status of Women. But her final illness in 1962 forced her to stop working with the committee before its final report was issued. Another 6 feet along this wall, we come to an exhibit about Eleanor Roosevelt's role as a civil rights champion. A text panel on the left reads, "Staying aloof is not a solution. It is a cowardly evasion." Eleanor Roosevelt on Civil Rights, Tomorrow is Now, 1963. When she left the White House, E.R. shed the constraints it imposed on her civil rights activities. In 1945, she joined the boards of the NAACP and the Congress of Racial Equality, CORE. Soon, she was lobbying President Truman to end the poll tax and establish a permanent Fair Employment Practices Commission. E.R. used her My Day newspaper column to criticize segregated schools and other racial injustices and to rally support for civil rights activists and court challenges. She helped raise money during the Montgomery bus boycott and drafted a civil rights platform plank at the 1956 Democratic National Convention. During her last years, E.R. became impatient with the pace of racial reform. The violence against the Freedom Riders in 1961 provoked her anger. She began identifying more strongly with activists who were struggling to end segregation through direct action. To the right of this text panel is a plexiglass case with her draft for a magazine article on segregation. In handwritten notes, she argues segregation in the U.S. is harming America in its international struggle against communism. Walking about another 6 feet along this left-hand wall, we come to a panel under the Justice heading with text that reads, "Confronting Hatred. You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You must do the thing you think you cannot do." Eleanor Roosevelt, You Learn by Living, 1960. Eleanor Roosevelt's outspoken support of civil liberties, and especially civil rights, made her the target of vicious personal attacks. E.R. responded with courage and fortitude. Defying hate mail and death threats, she continued traveling, often alone, to lecture and meet with civil rights leaders and activists. Her fearlessness was demonstrated in 1958 when she traveled to Tennessee to attend an integration workshop at the Highlander Folk School, an interracial training center devoted to labor and civil rights. The FBI warned her that the local Ku Klux Klan planned to raid the school during her appearance. The local sheriff was a Klan sympathizer, and authorities could not guarantee her safety. Eleanor refused to cancel her plans. She drove unescorted over country roads to reach the school and speak at the workshop as scheduled. To the right of this text panel is a plexiglass case with a partial transcript from the Eleanor and Anna Roosevelt Show, featuring a sharp attack by E.R. on the Ku Klux Klan. 6 feet further along this wall, we come to a final text panel about Eleanor Roosevelt's activities as a Cold War critic under the Freedom heading. "What is going on in the Un-American Activities Committee worries me. We find ourselves living in the atmosphere of a police state where people close doors before they state what they think or look over their shoulders apprehensively before they express an opinion." Eleanor Roosevelt, My Day newspaper column, October 29, 1947. The Soviet Union's brutal occupation of Eastern Europe and E.R.'s firsthand exposure to its obstructionism at the United Nations made her deeply mistrustful of the Soviets. During the early Cold War years, she supported the Truman Doctrine and helped found the liberal anti-communist organization Americans for Democratic Action, ADA. But E.R. worried about the Cold War's impact on civil liberties. She expressed grave misgivings about President Truman's 1947 government loyalty program. In 1955, she signed a petition seeking amnesty for American communists jailed under the Smith Act, and she took courageous stands against the reckless charges of extreme anti-communists, especially the House Un-American Activities Committee and Wisconsin Senator Joseph R. McCarthy. Her outspoken stance and her association with the civil rights movement made her a constant target of red baiters. A plexiglass case to the right of this panel contains two documents. In a draft letter to President Truman, Eleanor expresses concern that we are doing what the Soviets would do in trying to repress anything which we are afraid might not command public support in order to ensure acceptance of our own actions. And in a draft of her My Day newspaper column, she condemns the slurs and accusations made by Senator McCarthy. You'll now be automatically redirected back to wherever you left off in the base message.